as you've been hearing, UN agencies say that food, water and medicine sent to Gaza in recent days has still not been distributed. Israel had blocked all aid into the territory for the last 11 weeks after it broke a ceasefire in a war that has now lasted 20 months, cost over 50,000 lives and displaced almost all of the over 2 million people living in the crowded, overcrowded coastal strip. Under growing international pressure, Israel agreed on Sunday to allow what it calls a basic amount of food to enter the territory and says it sent 93 trucks into Gaza yesterday with flour, baby food and medicinal equipment. Clemence LaGuardia is head of response for Oxfam in Gaza and joins us now from Paris. Thank you very much for taking our call this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What's your understanding of what's happening to the aid that has been allowed in recent days?
I think what's happening to it is incredible logistic challenges. You have very, very few trucks, like a drop in the ocean, entering a strip and a territory that is heavily bombed. There has been an intensification of the hostilities in the past days, and where people are desperate. So bringing this truck into safety, finding a way how to prioritize and how to distribute this assistance is going to be incredibly difficult. And I think that's also why there are some delays right now.
Your charity, Oxfam, what are they working with at the moment? What supplies do they have?
So we do not have any supplies left. We are focusing on the services that we can provide on the ground. So, for example, we are still working on providing drinkable water through water trucking. We are providing protection services to support people with their trauma. And we are doing a bit of technical support for local food production, but this has been reduced to almost nothing because of the lack of supply.
Your workers and the people they're helping, what are they eating?
Well, they are eating less and less. I mean, at some point it was to reduce the number of meals. Now they are also reducing what they are eating and the amount of food that they are consuming to make sure that their children, for example, are left with the biggest share. What they are eating mostly is rice and lentils because they were able to stockpile a bit. But the situation is incredibly worrying. There was this lifeline that were the community kitchen before, and they are closing and shutting down one by one. By the end of April, they were delivering more than 1 million meal per day. This has reduced to 249,000. And it's going to reduce more if assistance is not entering at scale.
What effect is this having on people there?
I mean, I think the effects are multiple. They are exhausted. It's been now almost 19 months that this conflict is ongoing, that they had to be displaced, that they are struggling to survive. People just to want to be safe. They don't want to be at risk of dying every single day. They don't want to be having anxiety when they are leaving their children because they are not sure they're gonna find them back at the end of the day. And they want to be able to do a bit more than surviving. And what we are talking right now, the amount of assistance that Israel has kind of accepted to allow in is only to keep them at the survival stage. It's not living, it's not dignifying, it will not allow them to thrive.
Are your workers seeing people starving?
They are. I mean, yeah, like the most vulnerable population in Gaza right now is at risk of starvation. The people that have no incomes, no support system are starving. There have been already cases of people dying of starvation, and especially when they are young children, especially when they are elderly or people with chronic diseases. The most vulnerable people of Gaza right now are the ones that are suffering the most, while we should be they should be the one that we are protecting the most.
Are people, including Oxfam workers, still having to move?
Yes, the forced evacuation order have I've came back, especially recently, since the beginning of what they are calling the Gideon Chariot operation. So we have some staff that have been under these forced evacuation order. However, for now, for example, they don't want to move anymore because they are saying there is nowhere safe. They don't want to start from scratch. They don't have any option. Like these. Yeah, they've exhausted and they've exhausted all their option, all their coping strategy, and they just don't want to move anymore. They don't have the strength for that.
Israel says there's plenty of food in the territory, much of it delivered during the ceasefire, and that it's been stolen by Hamas.
No, that's not. I mean, just mathematically speaking, right? If we talk objectively, you have more than 2 million people. They've received food, yes, during 45 days. But first of all, they were under almost a full blockade for the first 15 months of the conflict. It's not like during the 15 months, aid was flowing into the strip. And then so the ceasefire and the 45 first day were better, but they for sure did not allow us to cover the needs that were coming from the first time, the first 15 months. And then these 2.2 million people haven't, like nothing has entered since the 2nd of March. So the stocks are long gone. People need to eat every day. Like hospitals need to function every day. We have mass casualty arriving. So no, the stocks are empty. And the stocks of food have been empty for a while now. The one at shop, the one of the organization, for example, as Oxfam, we distribute our last food parcel at the end of April. And people right now may, the most lucky people, let's say, have a bit of stock at their place, but this is being depleted also.
You're not the only charity speaking out about conditions within the territory. We reported earlier in the programme about countries that have been and are supporting Israel who are beginning to criticise and beginning to talk about sanctions. Can you see an end in sight here?
I wish I was able to remain optimistic. I mean, it is new that so many countries are speaking up. What we are saying is it is a shame that we had to reach to that point of humanitarian catastrophe for countries to start speaking out. We've been, I mean, almost since the beginning of the blockade, we have been raising the alert. We have been alarming. We have been raising our voice to say like this is collective punishment. Like this is weaponizing humanitarian assistance. The population is going to suffer, and it's going to suffer fast. Now we had to reach to this level to have, politicians starting to speak out. So that's good, but it's almost already too late. And there is a sense of urgency right now to solve this situation.
Clemence LaGuardia, Head of Response for Oxfam in Gaza. Thank you for speaking to us this morning, almost 20 past 8.